Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host to the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today is Pastor Nathan Williams of the Mandeville Church. Not exactly from Slidell, but you know what? He loves us anyway, and we love him. So we wanted to welcome Pastor Nathan Williams. Glad you're here, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Brand new year, new opportunity. You've never been with us before, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Nathan Williams, and I came down here about 9 years ago from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm down here to work with the church in Mandeville. We call it the Mandeville Church.
Where's it located?
It is just off of the interstate. If you know where Church of the King is...
Yeah,
there's a service road right there off of the interstate, and you just go down that.
Great, and the church has been there for a while, hasn't it?
It has. We've been at that location probably 18 years, but the church has been in Mandeville area for about 25.
Well, well-seasoned and a contributing member of the kingdom of God.
I pray that is true.
Well, yes, good. Sir. Well, good. Well, glad to have you with us today. As we begin a new year, we might be talking about your perspectives, your thoughts about where do we need to go from here? New year, new opportunity, not New Year's resolutions as much as maybe just a refreshed vision. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's on your mind, sir.
Yes. Well, one thing that has been on my mind and is probably every beginning of the year is... why go to church? Why is there such a thing as church
in general?
I think, you know, we come up with different ways of doing church. We try to come up with different techniques. But the fact is, maybe we ought to think about why is the church even in existence? Is there still a place for such a thing as a local body of believers coming together every week?
Well, that's a great question. Is there's a lot of people who don't think it's necessary to be part of a church.
Yes.
That they call themselves Christians, but not necessarily feeling the need to be part of a church. So good subject, good conversation for today.
Yes, I have known quite a few, actually, who have this idea that they're great Christians, that they have a wonderful relationship with God, but they don't feel the need to be together with other Christians. They say, I'm just fine.
You know? It's kind of like a missing link, isn't it? It was hard to have the fullness of Christ without church.
Yes, absolutely. And I was thinking through recently, why church in general?
Okay.
One of the major reasons, I think, is because God designed the church.
That's a good place to start.
And so, you know, we're kind of resting on the wisdom of the Creator here.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
It's not something that men decided to do, that we just, you know what would be a great idea is that we all get together and just do church every week. That's not our design, but it's actually a design of the Creator. And there's a passage that I'd like to read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 says here, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And there I believe it's at a level of a command of God not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And God designed this, and the reasons he says here is, that we might stir up one another to love and to good works. I think the King James Version or Old King James says, provoke one another.
That's a good word, too. That's a good word, too. Well, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it talked about the church was growing and prospering.
Yes.
Because they were fellowshipping together. They were joining themselves together. They dedicated themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And, of course, that's the role of the pastor today, is to teach and to lead and to fulfill. So it's just provoking, if you will, but also it was a key element of the old church in the first century.
That's right. God created us for the reason to love one another and to work with one another. And how can we do that if we're not gathered together? Or how can we do that if we never meet with one another and know each other?
Well, you know, for people who look at Christianity as a list of rules and regulations. If you want to be this, you have to do this. But Christ really created us for relationship first with Him. Yes. And then to reflect that relationship, and as you already said, more than adequately, to bless and to encourage each other.
Yes. And I'd like to challenge all the members of your audience who are listening, especially the men. And I find this a problem more with men than with women. But I'd like to challenge you guys, and myself included, that we're not the guy that sits at home and watches TV or goes out fishing and says, you know what, I'm just fine with God. I'm fine that I can just pray to Him, and that's all I really need. Because really, we're kind of bucking against what God has designed for us.
Well, it limits us in who we can be.
Yes.
You and I mean, there's the priesthood of all believers, but as men, we've been called to be the head of the family and a priest of the home.
Yes.
And how can we do that? How can we do that in a vacuum? How can we say, I'm okay with God, and you know what? Maybe you are. I don't have any idea what happens in God's mind about things like that. Maybe you really are okay. But you know what? To fulfill my role as a man, a priest in my home, got to have more.
Amen.
Got to have more. And it really takes men like you standing in the pulpit every week, visiting home, visiting the sick, to really, you're the glue that binds all this together, and to show by example that, you know what, we really need each other.
Well, that is a big part of my job. Ephesians chapter 4 says He gave the church certain gifts, and one of those is an evangelist. But all of these pastors and teachers and evangelists are there to build up the church, to help it to grow into the head, who is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And to teach the church how to minister to one another.
How does a pastor teach the role of men and women, and I'll give it teens and children too, to minister to each other? What are the essentials of doing such a thing?
Well, that's a big question. I see the role of elders, shepherds in the church, is to guide the group. But in order to guide the group properly, you know, we have to show the group how to walk. You know, a good shepherd is going to be the leader. He's not going to be driving the sheep. He's going to be walking along and calling the sheep. As a high calling, I think, for those in the leadership position is we have to first show the church what it looks like. So we have to live with our wife according to knowledge. We have to treat her with respect and kindness. We have to raise our children in the Lord, you know, and teach them as they're growing. And then,
does that mean the pastor needs to be perfect and his children are perfect and his wife is
absolutely
perfect?
No.
I'm gonna come to your church.
Oh, that can't be true. I just have to say from experience. You're never going to find a perfect pastor or a perfect church.
So, but transparency is important.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Transparency. It's not the legalistic thing of always obeying, but it's how you respond.
Yes.
To the trials of life, to the trials with your children. I mean, I've raised children,
yes.
And I understand that it can be an interesting adventure. But it's how you deal with it, not necessarily that we're all going to be perfect, because I'm not going to be.
Yeah,
but that we handle our imperfections in a Christ-like way.
Well, there's nothing more humbling than having children, I think.
That's a fact.
And so any single couple who we used to know a single couple who continually told everyone else how they ought to be raising their kids.
I see.
And until they got their kids, then they stopped. Because then they realized it's not just a... there's not one technique that works here.
So an important part of reaching out is to be a role model, but also to be honest in your efforts in these things, with your struggles as well as the victories.
That's exactly right. Well, I have to be one of the first to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Just model what I know is right.
And, of course, that goes back to what you were talking about earlier, which was the need to be in church. How you can't do this in a vacuum, can you?
That's exactly right. God gave us, first of all, I think, the family unit. You know, husband, wife, and kids.
Yes.
That is almost a petri dish for trouble. But He gave us the family, first of all, to teach us patience and kindness, and that we can really learn those things in the family. What is a church, though, but a big family?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what a local church is.
Built on relationship.
Yes. And we can practice all of these things in that kind of a community.
So in terms of reaching out, in terms of helping each other, there's the role model as being transparent. Where else would we go finding a way to do that right?
Our church is very focused on the Word.
Okay, good.
Our church, in our Bible classes, adult classes, children's classes, and just when we get together, sometimes we get together with friends during the week, and it's for the purpose of encouraging one another in the Scriptures. Sure. We've got to be depending on what God has said for our lives. So that has to be the undergirding of anything that we do.
So if we don't know, we can't do it.
That's exactly right.
What kind of classes do you advise people to have? Is it discipleship classes, or Sunday school, or home groups, or what model do you follow?
Well, our congregation, the past 3 years, we've been on a trek through the whole Bible. So year one, we did the first half of the Old Testament, all the history. Year two, we did all of the New Testament. And then last year, we completed it with the poetry and prophets. And so in our adult classes, we've been just marching through the entire Scriptures.
Okay, good.
And in our children's classes, we have a two-year cycle where we go through the whole Bible every 2 years.
Wonderful.
With the children. And we just believe there's a steady diet of Scripture. The Scripture will lead you to what God wants you to be and to do.
So the foundation of relationship, the foundation of transparency, the foundation of a good example, all goes back to one common source, and that's understanding and living the Word of God.
Yes, that's a good way to sum it up. We have everything we need right here. One of our favorite passages, my favorite passages, I should say, is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Well, we've been pretty much speaking about people who have a faith, people who just need to make that extra step for completion and going to the church. But, you know, it's possible that maybe someone listening that has never really heard the message.
Yes, sir.
They've never really understood what it means to be a Christian.
Yes.
Could you address that for us a little bit?
I would love to. One of the there are three things that I like to tell people that we love in our church. One is we love each other.
Okay.
Number two, we love the Word of God. We've already spoken about both of those.
Yes.
But number three, we love Jesus. I mean, and not in any particular order. He would come first. You know, we love Jesus. And the reason why we love Jesus is because Jesus is good. And the gospel, there's a word we use a lot called the gospel. It's all over the New Testament, and it means good news. And Jesus is the one who this message is all about. So every time we get together, it's because of him. The good news is only good because there's first bad news. I know you've experienced this, I've experienced this, and everybody on earth experiences the bad news. And the bad news is very nicely laid out, I think, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1, 2, and 3. In Ephesians 2, it says, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That passage is speaking to Christians. He's saying all of you Christians were like the rest of mankind. This is a problem that the entire world has. Every man and woman has this problem. And it's that we're dead in our sins.
What does that death look like when we're dead in our sins? What from a practical standpoint, what do you see?
I see that in myself. I could see that in things like addictions that had me.
Okay.
Pornography, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, spousal abuse. any kind of trouble that you're having in your marriage, if it's husbands yelling at the wife, wife yelling at the husband, children disobeying, parents running over the children, those are some of the, so common. I mean, it's everywhere.
You know, we've been talking about relationship, and every one of those things that you mentioned points to a broken relationship.
Yes.
Pornography points to a broken relationship between a man and a woman. The anger, the bitterness, the drugs, broken relationships, because people are constantly lying and cheating and stealing to get the drugs that they need.
Yes.
All of this has broken relationship. But the beginning of our hopeful conversation was that they can have those relationships repaired.
Yes.
Awesome. I love where this is going.
Yes.
Keep talking.
So we understand the bad news. We see it everywhere.
Yeah.
We see it, you know, murders that go on, lying and cheating, and all of the stuff that goes on. We just know the world is filled with sin. Some people call it different things. So you might just say it's broken.
Okay.
But the Bible says it's sin because all of these things break God's laws. God designed us to work a certain way, and we decided to do it differently.
Okay.
It's broken.
Wonderfully said. Good.
So what's the good news? So we have the bad news. What's the good news?
Okay.
So as we continue in Ephesians chapter 2, it begins in verse 4 with, but God.
That is a phrase I always love. But yes. God. Okay.
Yes. Something we can't do. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. So there's a way back.
Yes.
If we see ourselves in these broken relationships, if we see ourselves struggling with people, struggling to be a nice person,
yes,
there's a way back.
There is.
And the way back is through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The awesome message is, too, that this is based on faith in him. It's not based on some, you don't have to climb a big mountain to get this. You know, you don't have to do some incredibly crazy deed to get this. Jesus and God say, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's the beginning of it. And so what we find is the gospel, the good news says, Jesus took all of our sins on a cross for us. All of the sin that we committed and we're guilty for, Jesus took it all on himself and killed it. He killed sin. And when we begin to believe in him and follow him and listen to him, he starts to kill it in us. You know?
So it's not an immediate process. We said, I believe all of a sudden tomorrow's going to be perfect.
Right. That's right. And then we go back to the reason for the church again.
Okay.
Right?
I love it. Yeah.
So why do we need the church? Why do we need our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we have to constantly be mortifying the flesh. We have to be killing it.
So it's not a matter of I've got my sanctification and you don't have yours. It's a matter of, because we talked about relationship, we talked about transparency, we talked about living honestly before each other,
yes,
that people who want more of Christ, they want to get out of the trap of life that they're in.
Yes.
We can walk with them honestly, trying to help them and help ourselves.
Yes.
Because we never arrive. It's a journey.
That's right. That's exactly right. The sanctification is, it's an ongoing process. But the good news is as soon as we begin to believe in Jesus, God counts us as one of his children right then.
Wow.
And so even while we're in process, we're not perfect. We'll never be perfect on this earth, in this life, okay? But as we work with God, he treats us as sons, and he raises us as his children.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I think you've given us a great picture of the importance of the church, both for the believer and for those who are seeking. Those who need relief from their pain, their suffering, their multiple broken relationships. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
but he resides in his church, and he resides in the people of his church.
That's right.
Amen. Wonderful. Pastor, is there a final thought you'd like to wrap up and leave with us as we finish our time together today?
I appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody here. We just love to share this gospel with people. So, you know, we love people. We love God's word. It's the undergirding authority for everything. And we love Christ, Jesus. He's the purpose behind everything we do.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's been an honor and a pleasure to meet with you, and just a real thrill to talk with you, about the fundamentals of who we are as Christians. And I would certainly recommend Pastor Nathan Williams in the Mandeville Church at exit 59 of I-12 in Mandeville. He's one more wonderful place to be with some of God's people. Thank you for spending some time with us, yeah. Pastor. Pastor, if people want to be in touch with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, one of the best ways to find us is on our website, which is mandevillechurch.org, mandevillechurch.org.
Okay.
And all of our contact information is there. There's our address and phone number is on that website. And so we'd love for you to check out that. There's a lot of audio resources there, sermons and classes, and a lot of articles as well.
Good. When are your main service times?
We meet on Sunday mornings, 9:30 for a Bible class. We meet at 10:30 for our worship period. We have a meeting on Sundays at 5 o'clock where we come together again as a church family. And just really, that's a nice open discussion. And then Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock.
Well, so there's many opportunities to spend time with you.
Yes, sir.
So if you're in need of a church, if you're looking for a place of good Christian fellowship that's a Bible-based church, you might consider the Mandeville Church in Mandeville, Louisiana. Thank you, Pastor. Glad you could be here.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. Send us a text, leave us a comment, and if Pastor Nathan said something today that sparked your interest, let us hear from you. We'll be glad to put you in touch with him. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell. Also, check our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support this station. We need the financial support of folks just like you. And again, we want to hear from you. That number is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.